The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
All right. Welcome to a Friday Eve. It's also known as Thursday, but it just sounds so much better when we say Friday Eve, because it's coming tomorrow. The weekend's almost here. This is where my head is at. What can I tell you? Welcome to the show. We got a busy one for you today because there's a lot of news going on, and I've got so much stuff piled up that I haven't been able to get to in the last few days. So I'll get to as much of it as I can today. Obviously, Howie Klein coming up. It's Thursday. We'll talk with him about the machinations over in Congress and what's going on. Mitch McConnell yesterday caved. Well, okay, didn't cave. He blinked. And when you're playing a high-stakes game of chicken, he who blinks first is showing that he's scared. But not scared enough, apparently. So Mitch McConnell said, all right, we'll cut a deal. I have to talk so I don't move my mouth. We'll cut a deal with the Democrats. The Democrat Party will cut a deal with them so we don't go off the cliff. But I'm only going to extend it until December 3rd. See, December 3rd is the day that they passed the very short-term spending bill to last until December 3rd. So now, coming up on the end of the year, this is habitual. This is what Congress does. And I don't care who's in charge. It always comes down this way. They get to the end of the year and all hell breaks loose. So, but this time it's December 3rd. So they got about a month to play with it. But basically that's the day that the government runs out of funding. That's what they extended just last week so that we didn't have a shutdown a week ago today, right? So they did that, but extended till December 3rd. And now Mitch McConnell says, well, we'll let you raise the debt ceiling. Just, you know, suspend it through December 3rd. So this is buying the Democrats a little more time. Now, historically, and I'm talking about recent history, the Democrats don't have very good time management. They need to be working on this as if it's tomorrow, knowing that they don't have all the time in the world. And if you wait until the very last minute, you come into the same situation that we're just narrowly escaping from. I don't understand what's so difficult. Well, hurting cats is difficult, right? So that's where we are. So here's the latest. Let me pull up the news alert if I have it here. I've got so many different news stories up. On this one, I mean, that's basically it. And we'll get into it further with Howie. So let me leave that for Howie. And we'll get into the politics of the politics. But I want to tell you about a story, and I've got other stuff to tell you about too, but I want to tell you about a story that I heard last night. It is not getting much play here in the States, but it should, because of what it is signaling, because of what is happening out there. So I'm going to show you a video, and it's a video of a guy. He's in Germany. He is a German-Israeli citizen. He has a dual citizenship, and he's a rock star. So his name is Gil Oferim. Okay, no, I never heard of him, but he's a German rock star. In fact, here's a little bit of Gil Oferim's music, in case you're wondering, because I was. So this is a song called Danke, which means thank you in German. I know that much, right? So this, and hopefully I won't get copyright violated for this.
Okay. Ich denk viel zu selten daran, was ich eigentlich hab.
Okay.
Sie sagen, es wäre wichtig, wen man kennt und was man hat.
Okay, I have no idea what he's singing, but that's what he sounds like. And apparently he's pretty fucking famous in Germany. So the other day, Gil Oferim goes to check into a hotel. And the hotel is the Marriott. Hold on. I've got it written down here. Where is it? The Marriott Leipzig in Germany. Right? And after he couldn't check into his room, He walked outside of the hotel and he sat down and he pulled out his phone and he recorded a message for Instagram. Now, I'm looking in the chat room and I'm asking, anybody, has anybody heard anything about this story? Anyone? Yeah, it does sound like Mellencamp Ford country a little bit, right? Okay, so far I'm not seeing recognition. I'm looking in the YouTube chat room. I'm looking in the Nicole Sandler chat room. And I don't have, nobody seems to know what this story is about. Because it wasn't widely disseminated. Now, here he is. So this, let me bring him up. This is the video. Now, he speaks in German, so there are subtitles. But I understand, you know, not everybody listening is watching. Many people are listening. So I'll do like the interpreters do on, you know, when a world leader is speaking at the UN or whatever, I will read the subtitles as they go along. I'll bring his volume down a little bit. But in case you're wondering, this is what Gil O'Farum looks like. Good-looking guy, young, 20-something, maybe 30-something. All right, so he walks out. He's sitting outside of the hotel. And the hotel is, again, the Westin Leipzig. It's a Westin hotel owned by Marriott. And that's why it's important that that people here in the States know what happened. All right, so let me share with you this video. Here we go. So he's sitting outside the...
Einen schönen guten Abend zusammen.
Says, good evening, everyone. I'm speechless. I don't know how to say this. In the past, I've often... Often been asked about anti-Semitism in Germany. I'm in Leipzig right now at a hotel called Westin. I'm not going to mention the name of the manager at the desk encounter, at the check-in counter. I wish he did, though. It was Mr. W. There was a long line because their computers crashed. These things happen. It's not their fault. But I'm standing here with my chain. That's my right. I've been doing it my whole life. And he showed his chain around his neck. It has got a Jewish star. And one person after another is taken ahead of me in line. And I don't understand why. 15 minutes later, it's my turn. And I ask, excuse me, please, what is going on? This is not okay. Why did you serve everyone else before me? And Mr. W. says, to break up the line. But I'm also standing in line. And then someone shouts from the corner, put away your star, the star of David around his neck. Then Mr. W. says, put away your star, talking about his Jewish star. Now he looks like he's about to cry. And then the manager says that if I put it away, then I can check in. Again, he looks like he's choking back tears. This is a rock star.
Wirklich?
Really? He said. And again, he's like fighting back the tears as he wears the Jewish star. Germany 2021. And then the video ends. And then this is from, it says, urge Marriott to apologize and commit to training their employees. Add your name at ajc.org/Marriott petition. Well, of course, you know me, right? Yes, you do. So what do? Well, I called the Marriott. Germany, of all places. Now, I know there's anti-Semitism here. It's not okay. In Germany? I thought they had this taken care of, right? So I'm not going to tell you what happened when I called the hotel, but I'll try calling them again. And let's see if we can get through. Because I called earlier and it rang and rang and rang and rang and nobody answered. Then I called back because, you know, I'm persistent. And somebody finally answered at the front desk. But I'm going to give them another shot. Another chance to answer my question. Because wait till I tell you what happened the first time I called. One ringy dingy. Two ringy dingy. And they may not answer. because I have a feeling they've been inundated. And actually, the call that I placed earlier today.
Schönen guten Abend, du bist in Leipzig. Ich spreche mit Frau Zimmermann. Was kann ich für Sie tun?
Hi, do you speak English?
Yes, of course. How can I help you?
Hi, thanks. My name is Nicole. I'm calling from the United States. And I've got a question for you. I'm Jewish. If I were to come there wearing a Jewish star, would I be allowed to check in?
Yes, of course, you're allowed.
What happened the other day?
I can't tell you anything. I'm sorry.
Okay, but there's no policy there? I mean, do you know of people who are blatantly anti-Semites there who work there?
No, we don't have colleagues there, anti-Semite.
Then why was this rock star denied the ability to check in?
I can't tell you anything about it, sorry.
No? Okay. Well, I appreciate
really
you taking
sorry.
The time. I thank you. And just thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Okay, well, she was obviously spoken to because when I called earlier today, you know what, let me see. I recorded it, but I didn't mark down the, I didn't save it. Let's see if this works. This might be it. Let's just see. Is this it? Hold on.
Services. My name is Julie.
No, that's not it. That's not it.
What number, please?
I don't know. Let's see if this is it. If this is not it, then I'll stop.
3,000.
No, that's not it. Damn it. I wish I knew what it was. Okay, so I'll tell you what happened. Basically, it was a woman who answered, just like this one, and I asked the same question. I said, hi, I'm calling from the United States. I'm Jewish, and I'm wondering if I were to come there and I'm wearing a Jewish star, would I be allowed to check in? And she said, is this a joke? And I said, no, it's not funny at all. I'm serious. And she said, well, of course. And I said, so then what happened the other day with this rock star? With what's his name? I'm drawing a blank on his name again. Damn it. His name is Gil O'Farum. Gil O'Farum. And she said, that didn't happen. I said, it didn't happen? He wasn't denied entry to the hotel? No. I said, so it was made up? Yes. I said, so you're telling me that this rock star, Gil O'Farum, lied? Yes. And the more I questioned her, the more the uglier she got. So, well, you know me. So I hung up and I called Marriott headquarters. And I got somebody, I don't know who it was, but I told him what happened and I just said, you have a major PR problem on your hands. Now, they've got a bigger problem there in East Germany. It's the eastern part of Germany where this hotel is. They got to deal with that. But you, your company, better fix this because this is not okay. And the fact is, this happened at your hotel. And then to add insult to injury, your person, your desk clerk who answered the phone when I called, lied to me about it and said it didn't happen and said that Gil O'Farum lied. Don't do that. So, yeah. Wow. Dewey Bueno's asking for a link to that video. I will post it on the blog today where I post the show every day. And anytime I play a video, I put those videos on as well. So if you go to NicoleSandler.com. Each day's show is posted with the date. So for instance, today it'll be NicoleSandler.com/10-7-21. It's so easy. You can find any show. And of course, my show is not behind a paywall. And I will post the video. And if I play any of the other videos that are hanging out today, I will post them there as well. And you can share them from there. But how fucked up is that? This man, this rock star, was sitting outside the hotel, his Jewish star around his neck, looked like he was about to cry. And so the good news is this video spread around Germany. It spread around Europe, apparently. And a lot of protesters showed up outside the hotel. So here from... The Guardian has it. ABC News has a story about it, and it says, this is from 2 days ago, a leading Jewish group in Germany said Tuesday it was shocked by a German-Israeli singer's report of being turned away from a hotel in the eastern German city of Leipzig because he was wearing a Star of David pendant. Singer Gil O'Farum, who lives in Germany, shared a video on Instagram Tuesday showing him in front of the Westin Hotel in Leipzig and saying a hotel employee asked him to put away his necklace in order to check into the hotel. So it's going on. But this does not tell you about the crowds that have reportedly been showing up to protest. Ah, here, the story in The Guardian, which, what's the date on this one? Went from yesterday, so it's a little later, shows there's a picture, protesters outside the Westin Hotel on Tuesday after Gil O'Farum posted his video. They said two employees at the Westin have been suspended while the accusations are investigated. Yes. Leipzig. Thank you. Danke, Shane. Bitte. Okay. Anyway, so that's the story. So, they suspended two employees? Why suspend them? Fire their asses. That's not okay. Now, it gets better. Reading this Guardian story, two employees at the Westin have been suspended. Police said one of the accused had filed a defamation complaint, describing the events, quote, very differently to the singer. The same person reported threats made against him via his Instagram account. Well, if his identity was outed, that he's an anti-Semite and he did this to the singer, I could understand it. But O'Farum rejected the defamation allegation, saying the incident happened, quote, exactly like I described it in the video. He said, I find it shameful and sad that I still have to justify and explain myself after such an incident. After the video was published on Tuesday, thousands of people gathered outside the hotel to demonstrate in solidarity with the singer and against anti-Semitism. So this is going on. And I bring it up only because anti-Semitism is on the rise. And it's not okay. The other thing that happened right around the same time is that Auschwitz was vandalized. The concentration camp, the death camp, where how many thousands of Jews or more were gassed, were killed, were murdered simply because they're Jewish. Some entities, I hate to call them people, they're certainly not human. Maybe they're friends of these hotel clerks, went onto the grounds and vandalized the place. I believe with, you know, Holocaust denial kind of slogans spray painted and such. Anti-Semitism is a problem. And let me tell you something. It's perfectly fine to hate the government of Israel. I certainly do. To disagree with how they treat their neighbors in Palestine, in Gaza. I certainly do. I don't agree with them on one thing. But those are the Israeli government leaders, not the Jewish people. I may be an atheist, but I'm still Jewish. It's my heritage. It's my family. And so when you insult them, you insult me. And seeing the rise in anti-Semitism around the world is terrifying. So there's that. I just wanted to bring it up to you because I'm not seeing it anywhere here. They're not paying attention to it. And you need to pay attention to it just the same way you need to pay attention to these insurrectionists who are saying, oh, January 6th was no big deal. Donald Trump says January 6th wasn't an insurrection. The insurrection was November 3rd on Election Day. Where's my bullshit?
Bullshit.
So there's that. Now let me tell you about something good, because I hate to leave you with that. So last night, I'm getting ready to go in the shower. I usually watch my taped General Hospital to kind of wipe off the events of the day, the news, the stress, and just retreat into a campy ridiculous world where people come back from the dead, they lose their memory, they get their memory back, they have split personalities. You know, anything can happen in soap opera land. So I go, that's when I usually watch it. After dinner, you know, David and I alternate who goes in the shower first. And so last night it was his turn to go in first. General Hospital did not air yesterday because, oh yeah, there was a school shooting. And so I'm flipping around and I wind up seeing some of Rachel Maddow's show. And of course she has Bernie Sanders on. Well, I'll stop any time to listen to Bernie. And I'm glad I did. So Bernie was just fucking awesome. Bernie yesterday held a press conference to talk about what's going on with the Build Back Better plan and the whole negotiations where they had the BIF. The BIF was the smaller hard infrastructure deal. The Build Back Better bill is the larger one that has, you know, it deals with climate change and child care and continuing education and so many things that we need, I'll use this phrase, to make America great again, but really, you know, restore us to the glory days of this country. And talking about Joe Manchin, mostly, and Kyrsten Sinema a little bit. And Rachel asked him, she said, you know, I got to say, this is, you have been walking, and I'm paraphrasing, obviously, walking a very tight diplomatic line here where you've not been criticizing your colleagues, especially Joe Manchin. She said, is there, you know, a reason why you decided to do this now? Like to challenge him now. And hold on, I'm going to share this video with you. So here was his response to that one.
Not happening that way. Are they insisting that it just be what they want? Full stop, 100%, well, or they won't vote for the bill. It'll die.
That's the threat.
That's the threat.
That is exactly the threat. The threat is, and I hope everybody understands this, we got 50 votes. The Republicans, I mean, I think we should pay a little bit of attention to the fact that there's not one Republican prepared to stand up to the pharmaceutical industry or the fossil fuel industry,
right,
or the health insurance companies, you know, or the billionaires who want to continue to get their tax breaks and enjoy their loopholes. Not one Republican.
Not one.
But in truth, that is the leverage that any one member of the Democratic caucus have. Look, I could go to Chuck Schumer, the majority leader.
This is really important. Listen to this.
You know that I believe that our current healthcare system is totally dysfunctional, wasteful, expensive. We pay the highest prices in the world for prescription drugs. Unless you put a Medicare for All single-payer program into reconciliation package, I'm not voting for it. I could do that tomorrow.
He could.
But that would be unfair to do. You know, at most, half the caucus supports that position. It would be wrong for me to say, take what I want or I'm out of here.
No kidding.
That's just not being part of a caucus. It's give and take and not holding that type of attitude.
Right. But yeah, there's Bernie once again telling the truth. He could. And if he did, look, he's as dead set on the fact that we need Medicare for all, that health care should be a human right in this country, like it is in the rest of the world, pretty much. And he could go to Chuck Schumer and say, I'm not on this bill unless Medicare for all is in there. That is essentially what Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema are doing, except they won't be specific about what it is they want. So, in fact, here's the clip where he talks about that.
One of the problems they have is we're not quite clear about what either of them wants.
No, we are not.
I think that you are right. According to press reports, Senator Sinema is not unsympathetic to doing something on climate.
Okay.
On the other hand, according to press reports, are they true or not? I don't know. But the press says she is does not want Medicare to negotiate prescription drug prices.
Because she took the money.
90% of the American people
because
want
she
a lower
took
prescription
the money.
Drug cost in America. And that she doesn't want to have increased taxes on the very wealthy. Is that true? I don't know. But that's one of the problems, is that we hear this from third parties, and we haven't heard that directly from her, nor have we heard the specifics in terms of what Manchin wants. So
that's,
I think,
right,
what we are going to have to do, and I think there's a growing feeling in the caucus to do this, is to sit down in the room and say, okay, you really want to cut childcare? You want to not have pre-K?
Really?
Do you really think that we should not expand Medicare or make sure that people today have no insurance in Republican states get an expansion of Medicaid? Is that what you think? Do you think we should not have tuition-free community colleges so kids can get the training that they need to go out and get the good-paying jobs that are sitting out there unfilled right now? You know, we need that type of specificity order to negotiate appropriately. We don't have it right now.
We don't have it right now. Well, that's an understatement. No, we do not have it right now. But I got to tell you, I stopped dead in my tracks because Bernie was so eloquent. He was so good. He was good at the press conference yesterday, but him sitting here talking on the television with Rachel Maddow, he was in just such fine form. And I want you to hear this last segment because he knocked it out of the park.
I'm not quite sure. And we need Mr. Manchin, Senator Manchin, to help us out here. What a compassionate and rewarding society.
Yeah. So
it's about this.
So Manchin said that he sees this as an entitlement society and he's in favor of a compassionate, rewarding society. And there's Bernie being Bernie saying, I'm not sure I know what a compassionate, rewarding society is, but...
Help us out here. What a compassionate and rewarding society is about. Does that mean addressing the reality that 600,000 people in America are homeless?
Yeah,
does it mean
not
dealing with the grotesque level of income and wealth inequality that we have? Does it mean,
of course not,
you know, dealing with the fact that one out of four Americans can't fill the prescriptions that their doctors write because the price of drugs in this country is in some cases 10 times higher than it is in Canada and other countries. So we need some specificity. Now, you know, he wants to say, I believe in an entitlement society. I would not look at it, use that phraseology. I do believe in a nation based on economic, social, racial, and environmental justice. Yeah, frankly, I admit it. You got it right here on your show.
Yeah.
I believe that all Americans are entitled as
yes!
human beings to
yes!
healthcare.
Yes!
I believe people are entitled to quality education regardless of their income.
Yeah.
I believe that people are entitled to affordable housing. I don't believe that two people are entitled to own more wealth than the bottom 40%
yes!
of American society.
Yes.
And by the way, one of the things that's playing out here, Rachel, I don't think the media has paid appropriate attention to it, is in the midst of all of this, the ruling class of this country, and that is the drug companies, the insurance companies, fossil fuel industry, they're spending hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. Pharmaceutical industry has 1,500 paid lobbyists on Capitol Hill, three lobbyists for every member of Congress so that we don't raise prescription drugs.
Ridiculous.
So this is a pivotal moment in American history, it seems to me, really. And I'm going to continue to fight as I have for working families and do my best to prevent this country from moving in an authoritarian direction, because you've got so many people out there. They're working long hours for lower wages. Their kids are going nowhere in a hurry. They can't take care of their parents. And they are saying, does the United States government care about me? Or are they only worried about their campaign contributions from wealthy individuals? So this is not only trying to improve life for working families who are really struggling to keep their ends together. It is whether or not we retain a democracy in which government works for all, and not just the very wealthy and the powerful.
So this happened last night, I'll tell you something. And I listened to it, and I tweeted before I even got in the shower, this is why I love Bernie Sanders. This is Bernie. And I said, I don't know if you heard it, but if you didn't, go look for it, or I will play it on the show tomorrow, which I just did. Wow. He's got it. It just down to hit the head on the nail, or the nail on the head, however the saying goes. I always screw up. Bernie's got it right. That's a man with integrity who's in it for the right reasons. He's not sucking up to the fucking pharmaceutical industry like Kyrsten Sinema, nor the coal industry, the dirty coal industry. like Joe Manchin. We are so lucky we've got Bernie Sanders in this fight. So lucky. And we need more of him. And I hate that he's 79 years old. But you know what? You know who else is 79 years old? Mick Jagger. Today is, what's her name? The woman on The View. The funny one. Joy Behar. 79 today. Joe Biden's the only one who seems really old. At 79, it seems. Mick Jagger is what? 79. Yeah. But yeah, Bernie. Bernie. God, it should have been Bernie. Should have been Bernie. But thank goodness he is the chair of the Senate Budget Committee. And this BBB plan, this Build Back Better plan, this is Bernie's agenda. Yes, it's Biden's because he realized that Bernie was right. I'm oversimplifying it, but you get the gist. And yet the media keeps plugging away. There, those progressives are trying to derail what the people want. The people want what Bernie's saying. And you got Mitch McConnell just gunking everything up. I say we send Mitch McConnell to the Westin Leipzig Hotel in Germany and make him wear a Star of David around his neck and see how far he gets. I don't know. I'm grasping at straws here. We got to do something. Now we have till December 3rd. Oh, gee. I promise you, on December 2nd, we'll be in the same boat we're in right now. All right. I think it's time to get Howie Klein on the line. What do you think? Anybody mixing up those dirty Debbies? Come on. Whose turn is it?
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of...
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on The Nicole Sandler Show.
Hi, Howie Klein.
Hey, Nicole. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I was just, I did two things before I brought you on. What I just finished doing was playing most of what Bernie Sanders said last night on the television. He was on Rachel Maddow's show after a brilliant press conference too. But Bernie last night on Rachel Maddow's show, that was Bernie Sanders. That was Bernie at his best explaining exactly what's going on.
Yep. You know, I think I used that exact same line in a post I wrote today that all you have to do is watch this and you'll know just what's going on.
Exactly. Because he tells the truth. He cuts through the bullshit. He tells you what's up. He talked about the hypocrisy of Manchin and Sinema and how they won't even say what it is they want. So they're left.
How can they say what they want? What they want is low tax rates for rich people.
Exactly.
Well, how do you 70% of the American people want rich people to pay more taxes. And these two, I mean, the bottom line is that all they're fighting for is low tax rates for their wealthy donors. How are they going to defend that?
Right. We need to elect, you know, listen to what Joe Manchin said last week. Elect more liberals. And then we can dump them. We can tell them, go fuck yourself. You want to be a Republican. If you want to act like a Republican, go be a Republican.
The problem is now, Manchin's not up for re-election. Sinema's not up for re-election.
Not till 24.
And we're stuck.
I know. But so the Democrats need to pick up enough seats so that they are rendered just there, like they're
right, but they need to pick up enough seats, but they need to pick up enough progressives in seats.
I agree.
Schumer, who picked
and cleared the field for and financed cinema, he's trying to do the same thing again. He's got another bunch of conservative Democrats from the Schumer from the Schumer Mansion cinema school.
Right.
And it would just be the same thing all over again. It's literally, he's just doing the same thing that he did last time.
Schumer just wants to play both sides again. I don't understand his game. Does he?
I want to say he's stupid, but I know him, and he's not stupid. He's very, very smart. He was a valedictorian of his class high school. He and I went to the same high school, as I said many times. And he's no idiot. He went to Harvard. He's a smart guy, and yet he can't seem to learn. He just can't learn this thing. He's wrong all the time.
It's astounding. So it was great that Bernie finally called them out by name. And it seems like most of the Senate, most of the Democrats will not do that because they're so afraid of going a little too far and pissing them off so that they finally say, okay, that's it. I'm out of here. Because if they, as much as they are from the Republican wing of the Democratic Party, if they were to say, all right, I'm just going to go full bore, I am a Republican, then leadership changes. Then all of a sudden, Mitch McConnell is once again majority leader, and it's a whole different ballgame. Instead of playing defense, which it seems to be all the Democrats do these days, the Republicans are in a position to play offense. And, this will all be dead. Nothing will happen. So we're, it's walking that tightrope. But I think Bernie did it in a way that they can't be offended. He told the truth.
Oh, no, they're very, they're both very, very offended.
Oh, they are. Oh, of course they are.
I mean, Manchin, you saw on Rachel's show.
Yes.
Rachel read part of Manchin's statement. He was very offended by Bernie. And he was, basically saying, Bernie's a fucking communist.
Right. Well, and I loved Bernie's response. Look, I do feel entitled. We are entitled to health care. We are entitled to a living wage. We are entitled to these things. We live in the richest nation in the history of the world.
What aren't we entitled to?
It depends who you ask.
No, Bernie said we're not entitled to
the
200 richest families in America owning the whole country.
We're not entitled to that, and we're not entitled to two senators holding the other 48 hostage. He said it would be one thing if it were a 50-50 split. And yes, they deserve to be heard, and they deserve to be able to negotiate a little bit, but they don't have the right to derail our entire agenda, the agenda that 48 in our caucus wants, that the American people want, and that the United States president wants.
They don't care what the United States president wants. They don't care what the American people want. They don't care what their own constituents want. They have their own agendas, and that's all. What are we going to do about it now? What we should do about it is someone should tar and feather Chuck Schumer and make him run up and down the Senate aisles with nothing on but tar and feathers so he doesn't do it again.
Yeah, will he learn?
I think if he's tarred and feathered, he'll learn.
Maybe. All right. Well, that's good to know.
It's worth
the try. So I read something today. It was a story in The Hill, so for whatever that's worth. But it said that, and we talked about this before, Ruben Gallego seems to be the guy picking up steam that everybody wants to primary cinema.
Yeah. I mean, Ruben is pretty good. We used to be kind of know each other a bit.
Yeah.
He's probably the best that we could hope for.
Yep.
Better than anything else that's going to come up to a primary her. And I mean, he's I read the Hill story too because
it was
I have a story coming out tonight about it too. So I read what they wrote. They left out a lot of stuff. To them he's a leftist, which he's not. He's in the progressive caucus. He's got a respectable B. He doesn't have an A. He's certainly not anything. I think he's the 72nd most progressive member of Congress. That's okay. I mean, it's better than the 75th.
Right.
But it's not like in the top 20 or something like that. He's okay. He's good. He's not great on military stuff. Other than that, he's good. He's better than an ordinary Democrat. That's for sure. And he's had a couple of tangles with her in the past. Their districts border on each other. So she got elected to a an open seat in the on the east side of Phoenix,
okay.
Where you know it's a little wider. It was a little wider and more conservative, and it was kind of a 50-50 district. When she won it, it was an R plus one district, and like I said, it was an open seat. And then the next, and she won it, and then she immediately switched to being conservative.
Right then and there.
She became a conservative.
I remember that
race turned her into a, she was always kind of tending, she had been tending towards conservatism her whole political career. She went more and more conservative year by year. And then that race just flipped her. I mean, she went crazy because she was accused of being a hippie and accused of being, you know, practicing use or pagan rituals and stuff.
Yeah.
So she became very conservative. And when she ran for re-election, she ran as a right-wing nut. She was one of only five or six Democrats endorsed by the Chamber of Commerce. She was already terrible by then. That was in 2014. But that year, what had happened was that Ed Pastor, who had represented the district just to the west of there, which is the more Latino district, and it's the bluest district in the whole state of Arizona by far.
Uh-huh. No,
well, it's an R plus 24 district, and so Pastor decided that he was going to retire. So immediately, Sinema thinks, oh, there's an R plus 24. I'm sorry, a D plus 24 district.
Right.
I'm in an R plus one. Why don't I just amble on over to the other district? But meanwhile, the Latinos wanted a Latino to run in a Latino majority area. Progressives are thinking, what do we need Kyrsten Sinema in a deep blue district? What do we want her there for?
Right.
So there was this huge uproar. This is in 2013-14. There was a huge uproar, and she was like defeated in the attempt that she made. So in other words, she announced that she was going to run in the other district, and people went so crazy that she backed down, and there was huge pressure against her. And that was the moment when she went from just being someone who was just all about herself to being someone who hated everything about progressives and everything about progressive policy. And she, that was the moment that when they wouldn't let her run for that, in the much easier district where she would never have to worry about raising money and never have to worry about an opponent except a primary opponent. So, So that was, and then Gallego ran, and he won the seat that year.
Ah,
so that was one thing. Then the other was when I talk about Chuck Schumer clearing the field, the Senate field for her.
Yeah.
Who do you think he was clearing it of?
Ruben Gallego.
Yes, exactly. People now, Ruben never announced that he was going to run, and to this day he's never said he was going to. However, he was coming under heavy pressure from progressives to run. He was kind of encouraging that pressure. He did want to run. He never announced it. He didn't do it. And I'm not privy to the call that he had with Schumer, but from what I've heard, Schumer said, "You're not running. She's our man. You're not. Stay where you are. Goodbye." And that was it. And you never heard from him again about that Senate seat.
Huh.
And now Schumer is probably really sorry that he ever did that. I'm sure he doesn't blame himself, but she's one of the causes of all of his problems. Now the thing is, even if she weren't the senator, they still have a problem because they're still Joe Manchin. What are you going to? There wouldn't be two of them now, and he is someone who can be dealt with. Not well. I mean, there's no way this is going to turn into something good. But at least you can make a deal with this guy. A bad deal, but a deal. With the lunatic from Arizona, there's no making any deal. She's just crazy. Your listeners are probably so sick of hearing me say that.
Yeah, but they know you're right.
I know I said it over and over and over. But it's true. I can't say it enough. She's a nut. And I've been carrying on about this for, 10 years? And people are finally saying, oh, wow, Howie's been saying that a few times, hasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and the videos of her circulating. Did you see the video of her on the plane last weekend? First of all, with her tits hanging out. You know, it's not a big deal. Lots of women show cleavage, but she's supposed to be a U.S. senator, and she dresses in the most inappropriate outfits on the floor of the Senate, the little Catholic schoolgirl thing she wore to do her big thumbs down on the $15 an hour minimum wage, and she thinks she's emulating John McCain. She needs to get a fucking clue. So there she is on a plane. I don't know where she was going, but they are shooting a video, and all you see is the cleavage, and she's all tits. It's Tits Cinema is her new name. And a constituent, a girl who happens to be a dreamer, goes by her seat and says, "Senator, can I ask you a question?" Cinema ignores her. And she said, "Will you be in favor of a path to citizenship for dreamers?" Cinema is on her computer, looking straight ahead. She didn't even acknowledge this woman's appearance there. She just totally ignored her. It is so infuriating. If I was there, I wouldn't be here now. I'd be in jail because I would have smacked her.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, she has a right, I guess, on some level to
ignore her constituents
when someone talks to her in a public place.
Wow.
It's a bad thing to do, especially if you're a politician. It seems like kind of stupid, but that's how she does it. Now, she's not a stupid woman. That's the other thing. She, again, I mean, I don't know that she's as smart as
Schumer.
As Schumer, but she's smart. She's a smart. Again, I know her personally. I've spent hours and hours talking with her years and years ago, of course, before she was ever in Congress, and she's a smart woman. So I don't understand where this comes from. This she is a politician. Politicians don't do that. I mean, the woman who she was talking to was a constituent.
Yeah,
the woman
who she wasn't talking to
as people who in her family who vote.
That's right.
Who have neighbors and coworkers
who vote. Well,
this woman is going to tell everybody about this.
Well, she
showed the video.
Got the video. Yeah, it's astounding. I just don't know how somebody could be so unresponsive, and then to find out, you know, as the Senate is in the midst of this, we're get ready to fall off the fiscal cliff again. And she's like, "Oh, I got to leave. I have plans this weekend." Well, she had a fundraiser with a bunch of big money donors who are against the Build Back Better plan. That's who she had to leave the negotiations to go see?
Yeah. She figures probably let them talk all they want. It's not going to matter because they're not doing anything without me anyway, because I'm the 50th vote. And if, you know, they do it on my timeline or they won't do it at all. She's horror. She is a horror.
She's a horror. She really is.
Exactly.
And it sounds like Manchin is at least being somewhat reasonable in negotiating with them, as reasonable as Manchin can be. She won't even talk to them.
Right. She wants one thing and one thing only, attention. That's all she's ever wanted. That's it. She's getting the attention she wants. She's just as happy as a pig in shit right now.
Wow. So what happens now? She's going to derail her ostensibly her party. She's going to derail the president's agenda. She's going to risk.
Care.
She doesn't care.
She doesn't care about the president.
She doesn't care.
She doesn't give a shit about anybody but herself. She is a sociopath. She is a classic sociopath. Wow. That's who Kyrsten Sinema has always been.
Yep. Wow. So, okay. So I don't know what the answer is. Like I say, I can't negotiate with a right winger who lies every time they open their mouth because you've got no common ground to start from. How do you deal with her? How do you deal with a problem like Cinema? I'm thinking of the Sound
Are
of
you
Music
insinuating
song.
That she's not a right winger who
well,
lies?
She is a right winger
who lies. She's also corrupt beyond belief. You know, do you remember this guy? I'm sure you do. Billy Towson.
No.
You will in a second.
Okay.
So Billy was he was a Democrat from Louisiana, and you know, back when the Democrats owned racism, he was one of them.
Okay.
So then when the whole party started to migrate, or all the Southern Democrats started to migrate over to the Republicans, he was one of them. So he became a Republican congressman from Louisiana. And at one point he got control of the of a major aspect, the biggest aspect of Medicare Part D. He became the Medicare Part D person that George W. Bush was trying to pass this really, really the most terrible part of Medicare,
okay.
which is the drug program,
right.
It's the worst.
Yep.
And what we didn't know at the time, which although it came out not too long ago, not too long after, was that the big pharma, specifically big pharma, offered him a $2 million a year job. If he would make sure that what they wanted got into the bill and nothing that they didn't want got into the bill. So they offered him a gigantic, I mean, especially back in those days, $2 million a year. That was about, I mean, now it's nothing, but in those days, that's a lot of money. And that's what happened. He passed the bill, retired from Congress, and went to work as the head the head lobbyist for the pharmaceutical industry at $2 million a year.
Wow.
Now, shouldn't that, I mean, I think he might have died, but shouldn't that guy be in jail?
Yes, he should. But
not put those people in jail. I mean, it undermines the whole goddamn political system of this country.
Right. But isn't that, I mean, didn't, oh God, what's his name? I just had him. Damn it. No, I'm drawing a blank on Chris Dodd. Didn't he do something sort of that?
Chris Dodd
left the Senate. He was negotiating, and then he became a lobbyist for.
Yes. But I don't remember what it was.
I don't remember
exactly
what it was either. But Howard Dean wasn't in the Senate, but he became a healthcare lobbyist. I mean, they take the
but
money
this
and
was
run.
A very very specific piece of legislation. This was a bill with specific demands that they wanted that he got passed. And then immediately retired. You know,
right.
it's kind of a different story. I can't remember the Dodd story. It can't be as bad because Dodd.
No,
Dodd
I want to say
really
he went to the Motion Picture Association of America, but he became a lobbyist. That was the main point, but not right. This
well,
is
they all become lobbyists. Yeah. Most of them become lobbyists.
Didn't they pass a law? Didn't Obama put something into effect saying they couldn't do that?
You couldn't come into his administration if you were a lobbyist. There is some kind of very, very weak tea kind of law, but there's so many loopholes that there is no law.
Right.
I mean, in other words, they don't actually call themselves lobbyists. They call themselves attorneys for lobbying firms.
Gotcha.
It's a horrible, ugly joke. It's just absolutely awful.
Right.
I mean, that's the thing. Congress makes the rules, for example, about bribery. They define bribery. So they say, okay, this is what we do. Let's make a law that excludes us. And that's so none of them ever get charged with bribery.
Amazing.
I mean, Kyrsten Sinema is a great example.
Oh.
She came, I think you and I may have talked about this, but she came into the Senate with a net worth of $30,000, and she's now worth in the millions.
Oh, my God.
Well, how did that happen?
Someone should do an investigation into that.
Yeah, they should.
Yeah, they should.
How about the House Ethics Committee or the Justice
Hello.
Department?
Hello. And while they're at it, you know, check out Dianne Feinstein and some of the others in there as well. Because Kyrsten Sinema is not alone on an island. Right?
We're stuck with this system. You know, when I talk to the people at Blue America endorses the candidates for their part of their vetting, that's one of the things I talk to them about. It's not only the issues of the day. I want to know where they stand on this bribery, and if they don't recognize it for what it is and want to fight against it, you know, I kind of pass on endorsing them.
Right. I don't blame you. Well, this is huge. And, the problem is that not only are Americans uninformed, they're often misinformed and on purpose. Obviously, if they watch Fox or OAN or Newsmax or listen to right-wing hate talk radio, they are being intentionally misinformed. That's what propaganda is. And we have a propaganda industry in this country. It's on the right. And they lie to people for what reason, I don't know, but to throw chaos into the system to make sure that we are as dysfunctional as we are today. It's very depressing, and it doesn't bode well for the future.
Yeah, it does not bode well for the future. I did a post. You know, sometimes I just write, and I'm not necessarily all that inspired about what I'm writing about. But other times, I get really, really excited, and it, and I love what I'm writing about, and I just get into it. And I did one today about anime,
uh-huh.
and about how country. And you know what inspired me to do it? It was the Gallup poll that showed that Americans, and wisely so, this part anyway, don't trust their politicians.
Right.
Americans in general don't trust the political leaders of the country. And they also don't believe the media.
Right.
Now, in terms of not believing the media, 11% of Republicans don't believe the media, whereas, 11% of Republicans do believe the media.
Okay.
Do believe the media.
Right.
Only 11% believe the media,
gotcha.
Whereas 68% of Democrats and 31% of independents believe the media. So there's quite a gap there. No one trusts the politicians, though, from either party. But and that made me start thinking about anime,
okay.
the breakdown of society, the fact that we don't share values anymore, the fact that there's like not like a moral behavior that we all sort of look up to, that's all collapsing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's scary because what it means is our society is collapsing and our nation is collapsing. And I don't see that there's any solution to it.
I don't either.
I literally don't. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen.
I'm with you. And you know what? I mean, at times like this, the selfish being that lives sometimes inside of me says, I'm so glad that I'm old. Because I'm not going to be around that much longer and I'm not going to have to deal with this shit. But my daughter is. That's the thing. I've got a kid and I don't want to inflict this on her. And I'm just looking at what her future holds and what I'm talking to the listeners now, your kids, what their future holds. This is the world we're leaving them with. That's not okay. And that's why I said the selfish part of me. But then the mom in me says, oh, no, no, no. I don't want to leave her with this. But you know what? Our generation did. I want the next generation to take over because they seem a hell of a lot more committed, more dedicated, and more radical to get shit done. They're not going to stand for this crap.
I don't know. When I was in college, we seemed like really idealistic
yeah,
and really ready to change society, and that sort of went away. Like as we got older. You know, the people like you and I are the outliers. Most people just like sort of went to sleep about politics. Even if they were marching against the war in Vietnam back in the 70s, where are they now?
Right.
Just trying to get by.
Right.
Which is something that conservatives want people to be busy with. They want people to be more worried about getting by than interfering in their business, which is politics.
Right. No, I hear you. And it's depressing. So you know what, Howie, we've got like 2 minutes left. So I just want to say this. Here's what's happening this evening. So Mitch McConnell floats this compromise whereby they're going to let the Democrats just pass the short term, I guess it's a suspension of the debt ceiling. But people like Ted Cruz are saying, oh, no, 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 we're not going to make it that easy for them. So they are going to invoke cloture tonight. They're going to make them get 60 votes. So now they're scrambling to find 10 Republicans who will join with the Democrats to invoke cloture to avoid the debt ceiling default. I mean, it's just insane. Just through December 3rd.
I know, but don't blame... Don't blame just Ted Cruz, by the way, because
no.
it was really Trump
Mike
that
Lee?
Made the problem.
Oh.
He put out one of his statements last night,
really?
You know, calling Mitch McConnell names for being weak.
Oh, my God.
You know, we've got the way we want them. What the hell does that mean? That we make the country default so that Biden looks bad? Is that what he's talking about?
It's owning the libs, Howie. That's their thing. We're going to own the libs.
It's
never mind that
America?
They're going to throw their lives and everybody's lives into horrible turmoil. If we default, everybody gets fucked over, not just the libs.
Yep.
Wow.
But, you know, if the libs get fucked over just a little bit more than everybody
right.
else,
right.
then they won.
Oh, my God. So anyway, they're going to vote tonight, 7:30. There are going to be three votes. One is the cloture. One is a motion to concur. One is a motion to invoke cloture on executive. I don't even know. It's all technical, you know, crap, when they should just say, okay, you know what, get rid of the damn debt ceiling. When the Senate approves a bill, when they decide in a piece of legislation they're going to spend money, that's all the approval they need. The debt ceiling is redundant, and it just puts us in a position of chaos.
They should put that into reconciliation. Whatever reconciliation do, they should include that.
Yeah.
But of course, Manchin will never let that go through either.
Well, that's the thing. That is the thing. Oh my God.
Do I ever look, more than for any other reason, I would just like to see a bunch of progressives get elected to the Senate. People like Erica Smith in North Carolina. People like, what's his name, Tom Nelson in Wisconsin. Even like Fetterman in Pennsylvania. In Kentucky. See these people get elected so that Manchin becomes a redundant nothing.
Well, that's what we have to do. So, you know, as important as the last election was to get rid of Trump, and we say it every time, the next one is even more important. If we're going to hold on, as Bernie said, to any semblance of a democracy, you know, there needs to be just an overwhelming show of support from the left.
It would be nice. I don't feel good about it.
I don't feel good about it
either. Unless the Democrats can deliver on something.
I know.
Hopefully lower drug prices. People are not going to come out and vote for them. They're not into this, you know, this stuff that you and I talk about all the time. They don't understand it. It's too complicated. Lower drug prices, that people will understand. If the Democrats can deliver that, people will deliver their votes.
But have you seen these ads that Big Pharma is running? Like the woman sitting at her kitchen table going, you know, access is what we need, and they're trying to take it away. If they try to negotiate lower prices, I'm not going to have access to my medications anymore. And I want to scream at this idiot. It is bullshit. It's you're not going to have access. You're going to be able to afford it for the first time in your fucking life, you moron.
Well, that's an ad, and I don't know that any of those ads are getting anywhere, but I'm sure that they must be getting somewhere. They must be tested, or they wouldn't be running them. But they're spending millions of dollars on these ads, and they're all over the country. They're everywhere, and they're you know, in all of the Democrats who are betraying people, those are the ones that are getting these ads that are saying Kurt Schrader is keeping our drug prices low. Really? Kurt Schrader
really?
Was one of the Democrats who voted against the negotiating.
Yeah.
Horrifying.
It's just opposite horrifying. World because they lie. And that's the thing. You can't trust what you hear on the television because they're allowed to lie in advertising. When did that happen? How about we get an FCC that actually regulates? You can't lie in an ad. You can't air misleading advertisements. But I guess if it's on cable, you can because the FCC doesn't regulate cable.
Yeah, well, maybe someone should start changing that also.
Hello. And the internet while you're at it. Because if you've ever bought anything from Facebook, you'll know not to ever believe an ad you see on Facebook. There's a problem there when
absolutely.
You can't.
Absolutely. I mean, yesterday I was carrying on Twitter that whenever Facebook says next day delivery, that means nothing. It doesn't mean next day. It doesn't mean next week. It doesn't mean anything. It means nothing. Right. It means when they get it to you, you get it.
Yeah, you cannot believe.
A Facebook bot came on and started, you know, trying to act nice towards me and say, you know, we'll help, we'll do this. And finally I said, you know, this isn't a conversation for Twitter. Give me an email address so I can contact you and let's discuss this, or a phone number or something.
Oh, no.
And then and it ended. That
of
was the
course.
End of the conversation.
And then they disappear. Yeah. There are serious problems. And you know, this is the case where you need regulation. The Republicans want to do away with all regulation. Well, then you have the Wild West, when you can just take a gun into a bar and kill whoever you want. We're not there. The internet needs to be regulated. There's the regulations that govern the internet were written before the internet even existed. So, hello, right? It's insane.
Yeah.
All right, Howie, I could keep going. There's so many things. Before you came on, I told the story. I don't know if you've heard about this. There's a singer, a rock star, a German-Israeli dual citizenship rock star who lives in Germany, who his name is Gil O'Farum. And he went to check into the Marriott, I'm sorry, the Westin Leipzig in Germany. which is a Marriott hotel, and he was kept waiting at, you know, not brought up to the desk. And when he finally did, they wouldn't check him into his room because he was wearing a Jewish star. This is getting a lot of press in Europe, but not here. This is a Marriott hotel. And I think everybody needs to hear this, only because the anti-Semitism is on the rise everywhere. And as I explained,
the old East Germany is very, very fascist oriented now. But the thing is Marriott, I believe, is a
Mormon owned company.
Mormon, exactly. Yeah?
Yeah. Well, they should know better. And so me being me, of course, I call the hotel and I get a clerk answer the phone who says, that didn't happen here. So she called this rock star, and apparently he's a pretty famous rock star in Germany, Gil O'Farum. She called him a liar. It's like, really? You're saying that he lied about what the desk clerks did when he tried to check in? Yes, that didn't happen here. Wow. Hmm. Wow. So I called the Marriott headquarters and complained.
Good. I was going to say, that's who you need to call.
I did.
And what?
Yeah, that shouldn't happen. I said, well, you got a big problem. If you don't fix it, you're going to have a bigger problem. So, yeah, that's all. But again, it's not getting coverage here in the States. Someone else I just tweeted out his video, which they do have, you know, captions on because he's speaking in German, but it's there. Look on my Twitter stream. It's horrific. He's about to cry telling the story. It's like, what? In German, in 2021, and someone just tweeted to me a story from the Times of Israel. Protests grow after singer says German hotel refused him over Star of David. So it's getting press over there, just not here.
How does he know that it was because of Star of David?
Because they told him. Because they told him he was waiting and waiting. He said, here, after waiting in line to check in, O'Farum said he asked why others who arrived after him were admitted before him. According to O'Farum, another customer replied telling him to, quote, take off the star. At least one employee then told O'Farum he needed to remove the pendant to get service. The employee, described by O'Farum as the, quote, manager at the check-in counter, whom he identified only as Mr. W., said to him, put away your Star of David. O'Farum, who appeared visibly distraught, said he had been wearing the star his whole life.
Wow, I bet Mr. W is going to get fired.
I sure hope so. And my only criticism of him is for not identifying who Mr. W was. Here's the thing that pisses me off. Mr. W was apparently suspended. Suspended? Why?
They don't say his name?
No, that's all he said. No, he didn't say his name. He's not. He wasn't going to identify him other than call him Mr. W. I don't know why. Because I would have outed that person.
I bet you would have.
And at least here. And someone else, Frau Ballhorn, tweeted, following an anti-Semitic incident between an employee and a customer that sparked a firestorm of bad press and boycott calls, the Westin Hotel in Leipzig thought forcing its staff to take a photo with this banner would somehow make the situation better. I love Germany sometimes. And the photo, hold on, I'm going to put it up on the screen. It's I guess, the staff in front of the hotel. Hold on, I got to move it up here. And then to show the picture, the staff of, and I still can't show it. Why is not showing up here? Anyway, it's the staff holding a banner filled with Israeli flags. It says the Westin Leipzig, and I'm guessing the other image on the banner along with the Israeli flag must be, I don't know, a German flag or something. I don't know. It looks like this is where I show my ignorance, like a crescent moon and a star.
That would be a Turkish flag.
That would be a Turkish flag. What? So why? That I don't
know. They also have, you know, Muslims, and Turks have problems. Well, it could be a crescent moon and a star. That could be almost any Arab Muslim country.
All right. I'm showing it now to the people who can see the video. And I don't know if you can see it because it's not very big on the screen. But anyway, that's what it is. And it's
for hipping me to that.
Do what?
Thanks for hipping me to that.
Oh, you got it. Anyway, this is on the timesofisrael.com. Protests grow after sing. So if you want to look at it, you can see it there. Anyway, Howie Klein, we're late. I guess they're going to vote starting tonight at 7:30. We'll see what happens. I don't hold out any hope. I don't expect that they're going to get the 60 votes. I think this is going to be one disaster after another.
Yeah, I think they said they were going to get it.
I hope so. I wonder who the 10 are. Because, you know, 10 Republicans are going to vote with the Democrats, and you know that the low-information idiots on the right are not going to understand they cut this deal. They're going to go, why did they vote with the Democrats? Traitors.
I know. Trump will be leading that charge.
Of course.
But chances are that they will do it because they've got people who are not running for re-election anyway, who will vote that way. So I think they'll cobble together the 10 votes.
We'll see. All right. And then what happens? You still got the Manchinima problem. And I've decided that's going to be the two name morph together, Manchinima, because it sounds like enema. And that's what we need is an enema to rid us of those two.
Yeah. Well, I think that they're okay with this. They're not going to be a problem with this one.
Okay.
So I'm on that site, by the way. I can't find it.
The Times of Israel?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, here, I'm gonna tweet out the
Is it way down the
I don't know because I went directly to the page. So from the homepage.
Okay, don't worry about it. Okay. I'll find it.
Yeah, just,
I gotta get going anyway. I am going to meet with someone who's gonna explain to me how bonds are working in the current fiscal environment. I'll talk to you next week.
You enjoy. I will not be doing that tonight. I'll be painting, I'm sure. All right. Howie Klein, find him at downwithtyranny.com. While you're there, check out the Blue America Pack. Help elect progressives to the Senate and to the House. We need them desperately. All right. Howie, I'll see you next week. I know we do.
Bye.
All right. With that, we are done. It's a Thursday. Tomorrow's Friday. Digby will be here tomorrow. So we got a lot to talk with her about. And I will leave you with, again, the news, which is probably outdated by now, but it is what it is. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for hanging. You're the best. I'll see you tomorrow. Take it away. if I can keep my voice. Take it away, Nicole. Bye.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Mitch McConnell blinked, but it's lasting only slightly longer than the blink of an eye, but it's better than nothing. In a surprise move on Wednesday, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell said that Republicans would go along with raising the debt limit to cover federal spending until December. McConnell had said that Republicans would not help Democrats lift the cap. Instead, he called for them to do it on their own without any Republican votes, using the complicated process known as budget reconciliation. But as it got closer to that October 18th deadline, and the Democrats reiterated their opposition to using reconciliation for the debt ceiling, McConnell said that his short-term solution would give Democrats more time to get that done and, quote, moot Democrats' excuses about the time crunch they created. All right, whatever. Senate Democrats declared victory and said a vote would be held soon, and here we are. While this doesn't solve anything, it does give the Democrats more time to solve their Manchinima problem. Senator Bernie Sanders, obviously having had enough of their obstructionism, finally took the gloves off and stopped playing nice. He held a press conference and made the TV rounds on Wednesday, pulling no punches.
My concern with Mr. Manchin is not so much what his views are, I disagree with him, but it is that it is wrong. It is really not playing fair that one or two people think that they should be able to stop what 48 members of the Democratic caucus want, what the American people want, what the President of the United States wants. That would be my position. So Senator Manchin has a right to fight for his point of view. He has not only a right to be heard, he has a right to get some compromises. He's a member of the Senate. But two people do not have the right to sabotage what 48 want and what the President of the United States want. That, to me, is wrong.
To be continued.
The Senate Judiciary Committee Thursday morning released an interim report with new details about the final days of the Trump administration, including an Oval Office confrontation between the former guy and the Justice Department on January 3rd. It came down to all of the Justice Department's assistant attorneys general resigning if Trump replaced the acting attorney general Jeffrey Rosen with Jeffrey Clark, a little-known DOJ official who had indicated that he would publicly pursue Trump's false claims of mass voter fraud. The report also says that White House counsel Pat Cipollone also threatened to resign, calling Trump's plot a murder-suicide pact. A federal judge on Wednesday temporarily blocked Texas from enforcing its near-total abortion ban, saying, quote, "This court will not sanction one more day of this offensive deprivation of such an important right." Judge Robert Pittman of Austin said the law prevented women, quote, "from exercising control over their lives in ways that are protected by the Constitution." Attorney General Merrick Garland called the decision a victory for women in Texas and for the rule of law. Texas, of course, said it would appeal. Once again, the law lets private citizens sue anyone who aids and abets abortions after a fetal heartbeat can be detected, and people can sue retroactively over abortions performed while a court blocked enforcement. Unbelievable. Well, this one shook the rafters on Wednesday afternoon as Reuters released a shocking report revealing that AT&T, the world's largest communications company, has been bankrolling a right-wing, conspiracy-pushing, propaganda television network posing as a news outlet. That would be OAN, or One America News Network. The channel's founder and chief executive, Robert Herring Sr., has testified that the inspiration to launch the network in 2013 came directly from AT&T executives. During a 2019 deposition, Herring said, quote, "They told us they wanted a conservative network. They only had one, which was Fox News, and they had seven others on the other left-wing side. When they said that, I jumped to it and built one." All right, first of all, I challenge the assertion that there are seven news outlets on the, quote, left-wing side. Please do tell. But back to the story. 90% of OAN's revenue came from a contract with AT&T-owned television platforms, including DirecTV. Herring had testified that he was offered $250 million for the network in 2019, but his accountant, under oath, said that without the DirecTV deal, the network's value, quote, would be zero. After the story was published, AT&T issued a statement saying it has, quote, never had a financial interest in OAN's success and does not fund OAN. Moving right along. Four people were injured Wednesday in a shooting at Timberview High School in Arlington, Texas. Three of the victims were taken to a hospital for treatment. Two of them suffered gunshot wounds. One, a 15-year-old boy, underwent surgery and was in critical condition, according to police. The other, a 25-year-old English teacher, had a collapsed lung and broken ribs. Police said the gunfire appeared to have started after a fight. Police arrested an 18-year-old suspect, who was also a student at the school. He reportedly fled after the incident but turned himself into police after getting an attorney. The shooter was charged with three counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. In COVID news, a Colorado hospital system on Wednesday said that it would no longer perform transplant surgery on unvaccinated patients because they face an elevated risk of dying from COVID-19. Meanwhile, Pfizer on Thursday officially submitted a request to the FDA for emergency use authorization for its COVID-19 vaccine in children ages 5 to 11. If regulators agree, shots could begin in a few weeks. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.